John Norsterkenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Back in my day, Porter Turkle, that bastard.
Bees!
Boom, wink,
the finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny. Do not vomit me.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 85 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Wednesday, December 23rd, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this episode we talk about divers, Frenchies, Spurgies, and Jerseys.
I should have read that before you read that.
As you can hear in the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Merry Christmas.
And joining us in studio from State of Hockey News, friend of the show, Derek Falska. How are you doing, Derek?
I don't know what it says right now. It says insert something witty here. I don't know. I guess the best thing I'll say is hello, everybody.
Good job at being witty there.
That's witty.
That was really original.
Got Christmas coming up here for those that celebrate. Others, it's just a chance to give gifts and get gifts.
Or just and work for, more or not work.
Or it makes it super stressful.
or not get anyone gifts because you're a Scrooge, I guess.
That's what I should do.
That's what I swear by.
Don't you just keep a bag of coal in your garage all the time anyways?
I should. My kids are all pretty bad anyways.
You get coal. You get coal. You get coal.
Yeah, but Jive... Jive, your kids would probably use it to burn down the house.
Hey. I wonder if I could still make an insurance claim then.
Well, I don't know. Can you
not anymore.
Can you claim them as not yours?
I don't think that's how the claims work.
I thought there was a checkbox you could put right there, you know, not yours.
Well, you know, before we get too far into things here, I'd just like to remind you can follow us on Twitter. We're at Three in the Box. Let's talk some Wild. So, Wild, usually we got a week here in between shows, but because of the holidays, we're reconfiguring things a little bit. We have had two games since our last show, which was like...
2 days ago?
Yesterday, it seems like. One, we had a Wild loss versus Dallas at home, and then a win versus the Habs last night. Stars game, you know, it started out well, but really kind of just fell apart in the second. I think it started with a pretty... Actually, both the Bens were kind of flopping and diving all over the place. At one point, Jordy Ben he basically was bumped into or something of that nature. Not very hard. And he basically flopped around and looking for something. Nothing was called. And then Jamie Benn actually succeeded in drawing a penalty, and that basically led to a power play. And, wasn't a very good game.
Well, it started out all right.
Two empty netters at the end of the game kind of make the score look a little more lopsided than
that was not good. Yeah. Well, that first one really took an ugly bounce.
Yeah, it really did, and you were like, okay, this isn't... We'll be safe. We can still play, and then it's like, Jesus Christ. I mean, this is how it's going to be, huh? So first off, you know, was the Dallas game winnable, or are the Stars just that good?
Well, I think it was definitely winnable. I mean, obviously, we proved that we could skate with them and play with them, you know, early on in the game. I mean, sometimes you got to be able to overcome the adversity, you know, and shift the tides back your way. Didn't happen that night. I mean, the Stars, you know, they're not on top for no reason. I mean, they're obviously a solid team. So, I mean, when you look at it, I think that they're beatable, but I hope they're not our new Blackhawks that we got to get past.
Well, I guess just for me looking at it, is it kind of comes down to like two chances where you get an offensive zone turnover, or you know, Prosser actually made somebody turn over the puck for a change in the offensive zone. Granlund gets it at point blank. Puts it right into the crest.
Right.
Same thing happens in the Wild zone. Spurgeon tries to throw the puck in the middle of the ice, puts it right on the stick of Tyler Seguin, and it's buried, and they have the lead, and you just saw the whole crowd and the team just shoulders drop
just
and
deflated.
Yep, toast.
Niemi had
a couple of snappy turnovers.
Niemi had some pretty amazing saves in there that game also.
Yeah. But you make a good point about the Granlund one. And we see, I feel like we've seen it several times from Granlund particularly, where he's not trying to fool anyone. He's just, rather than, you know, going for a pad and looking for a rebound there, he's shooting right into the gut of the goalie. And, you know, not many goalies are going to be giving up rebounds to their stomach.
Nope, it kind of gets just sucked right in there.
Well, the funny part about that is that was something that, like, in previous years, that's what we used to always accuse, like, Mikko Koivu of doing, that the only place he could hit on a goaltender was right in the crest of whatever it was all the time. And
right.
And you'd get frustrated because the few times he would shoot, it was always to the center mass, and right. It wasn't going anywhere. And Granlund just seems, we're happy he's shooting the puck. You know, that's a change in itself, but at the same time, you know, that's the difference. One team buries it, the other one doesn't, and it's basically a two-goal swing.
Right.
So why is he on our top line?
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
I mean, there's got to be a hope that he's going to develop into more than just a shoot-at-the-gut guy, you know. But at the same point, you know, at what point is that going to happen? Is it going to happen while he's still a member of the Wild?
And wasn't that the hopes for Coyle at one point as well?
Well, Coyle was looking pretty good against Dallas.
Yeah, against Dallas and Montreal.
And Montreal.
Did you see in that Montreal game how he finished that, I don't know, he's breaking down the side and, I don't know, he works some almost Vanek-like magic with the puck and then just Mike Condon, that's who was in net that night, right over his shoulder. But I mean,
that
was pretty.
He's done that. He's done that a couple times this year. I mean, yeah. I remember one. I don't remember who it was against, where he basically passed himself off the boards and he put it in the net on a little bit of a breakaway that he basically created by himself. So we know Coyle can do that, but we just. The thing with Granlund that just really perplexes me, you look back at that playoff series against Colorado, mm-hmm. He was a monster. I mean, remember that one play where he took it to the net and did that sweeping and made the goal?
Yeah.
We don't see that from him.
No.
I don't know what happened to that Granlund, but he's not present right now.
Well, you certainly don't see it with that, you know, that level of finesse coming across the boards and take it into the high traffic areas. You see a player that wants to get rid of the puck a lot quicker, you know, almost like it's a live hand grenade, get rid of this.
Right.
And you're not seeing him make some kind of finesse move to either freeze the goaltender or anything like that, or pick a corner even.
Right. It's disappointing. But what wasn't disappointing was the game last night against Montreal. There was elements that were disappointing, but you know the end result was very good with Wild winning 2-1. The big point of the game, or the 2 points of the game, were the non-calls goals, where they were waved off, Wild goals that is, waved off by we're just going to say Saint-Pierre. But basically he waved off both of those. And Toronto basically said it was inconclusive, so you can't reverse a wave off if it's inconclusive.
I don't know the angles I saw. It certainly looked like the puck crossed the line to me, but
you know the first.
You guys think I'm blind too, anyway.
So. You know the first goal. I agree with you. The first goal. It looked like they got away with it, but you could make an argument that Granlund may have interfered.
Yep.
With Condon, so it's like, you know. Even that would be a little bit on the weak side, I think. The other one by Parisi, though.
That was a wraparound, wasn't it?
He just kind of stood near the post and just kept jamming at it.
Yep.
Until the puck clearly crossed the line.
Yep. The typical Parisi move, yep. Just sit there and poke away
at it. Yeah, it keeps going.
Yeah, it never stops.
Yeah.
And actually, after the game, Parisi, I think, speaking to Russo, basically said, you know, look, it's 2015. Why can we not figure out what is and isn't a goal anymore, or yet?
Goalie pads are too big, man.
Well,
them smaller.
That could be part of it. You know that. But does the league need to look into alternate ways? You know, to definitively call goal no goal.
Chips are small and light. It shouldn't mess with the puck.
Right.
It wouldn't be that hard to do.
They were able to do Fox tracks, you know, back in the 90s.
Those actually had lights, though. At least that's what the players said. I've always actually been a proponent of what they call a confirmation line, which is a line actually behind the goal line, which if that puck touches that line at all, that means it is completely crossed.
Yeah.
And that's just paint. It doesn't require you to change anything else, and I've never understood why they didn't do it. You know, the goal that always sticks out in my head about stuff like that was 2004 Stanley Cup Finals between the Calgary Flames and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Martin Jelena comes in and stops, and the puck goes off his skate, and it's literally on its end, and it's rolling in, and Hobby Boulin gets his leg over, but they couldn't tell quite for sure, other than this one photo a guy took, and you can clearly see it was over, but there was no rule, and it got called off, and I've never understood why they don't just put another line there and end the drama.
Wasn't that brought up in one of the CBAs? I thought they had talked about doing something like that previously.
Yeah, it was a rule conversation a little bit, but they ultimately decided that it wasn't needed. And there was also some debate whether a puck could still cross but not touch the line. For instance, if it's on its end, it actually could still cross the line.
And it wouldn't
touch the line. As opposed to being lying flat.
Right.
Well, honestly, though.
But it's still a better reference point.
That would just be more of a confirmation thing rather than an end-all be-all. So, I mean, if the puck's on end and the whole puck is clearly across, they can still call that a goal without the puck touching that confirmation line.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, you get something where the puck's laying flat, it would just basically be a more of a... It did actually cross completely.
Well, and the thing is cameras nowadays can be quite small. You know, we all have a camera in our pocket attached to our phone. There's no reason that they couldn't stuff a handful of cameras in the pipes,
pointed
at the line, you know, have them battery powered or something where you can pull, the power on it and, you know, get a feed going to Toronto or to the booth. There's no reason they can't do that. The technology exists. Why aren't they doing that? I mean, that seems like a pretty easy thing to do. Other than people say, well, that's not going to solve everything. And, you know, goalie's pad might still be on top of it. But that's just because there might be some cases where it doesn't solve it. There's going to be a lot of cases where it does solve it. I just don't get...
That also goes back, why isn't there a camera on the blue lines either?
Well, especially now with the expanded replays. And, that's even more. You know, we had a case, a game, I don't know, last week where there was an offsides where the puck was in midair and you couldn't tell where it cleared the line.
What game was that, though? I remember we were watching that.
Nashville, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was the Preds game.
Yeah. But it was, you know, midair, and, you know, I remember Greenlay talking about a black chunk on top of the glass that was kind of near the blue line. And it's like, two cameras on the blue line would be pretty damn easy to implement, but yet we don't do that.
Well, the other thing I've always wondered too, and maybe you guys, this is your perception of this. Do you think the cameras that they're using, especially for that overhead cam that they always love to show for like goals, do you think
the NHL EA kind of camera?
Yeah. Looking from there, are those standard def or are those high definition?
I'm guessing they've all got to be high def.
Because you would hope so.
But the quality doesn't
translate on TV very well. It always looks really grainy and crappy.
Bad lenses.
Yeah. It's probably bad lenses. Because they're moving around. You've got a lot of servos and stuff to allow you that control. But it's probably not very good lenses. And
yeah, it's definitely not, you know, the high quality sports lenses that they're using for their main camera angle any means.
And they probably have the added challenge where you're getting ice, but you're potentially getting arena lights as well, which are going to affect your quality of your image as well.
So maybe they'll have to implement, I think it's Google who's working on some cameras for like the 360 videos, you know? So, I mean, then you got no swiveling or anything like that.
I'll wait till the players start wearing those instead of GoPros.
Oh, man.
Yeah, maybe that's the solution, just put cameras on all the players.
Yeah, just like the cops.
That'd be very interesting, actually. Well, you'd have to make sure to turn them off when they go to the locker room, though. So. It'd get very very graphic, very
quickly. You know what we haven't had for a while that we need more of is mic'd up players.
Yeah?
Speaking of cameras, just the conversations of players that are mic'd up I find very interesting. Usually quite comical.
It's going to be a lot of F-bombs.
Well, yeah, especially if Nash is around. You just get it from the referees.
Right.
Well, maybe we should mic up the refs instead of the players.
Just Tim Peel.
Oh,
any game that James Neal is playing, just to have him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, obviously he didn't need a mic. He's very, very vocal.
Right.
So speaking of things going on this week here, Spurgeon was given an extension on his contract. He got a new deal for 4 years, $20.75 million. And he went on out there that night and earned his paycheck, at least for that night.
Right.
Scored a goal. In my opinion, you know, Spurgeon is a solid defenseman for us. So, but, you know, and I'm sure you guys pretty much agree with me, but do you think that the Wild can really afford another expensive contract like that around?
It's going to make things tough. I mean, it'll make it a little easier once Backstrom's contract falls off next year. I think we'll still have some wiggle room after that, but we got some guys that, you know, are going to be hard to hold on to because we're going to run into cap issues yet again.
Well, I think what it really comes down to is, you know, how many of the $4 million, $5 million contracts can you hold on to? Can you have a top four, you know, with $4 million apiece? Or do you need to have room to have that younger player? Because that allows you to have flexibility up front in other places. And I think, me personally, especially with Dumba still having to be signed as an RFA, one of those guys is going to have to get moved somehow.
Right.
Because the forwards, you know, you got Vanek for another 2 years. You got Pominville for, what, another five, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and Koivu for three. You know, there's not a lot of big contracts that are going to be coming off the books, at least by the time you have to sign a guy like Dumba to that longer deal.
Except for Backstrom.
Well,
he'll be the one that's just, falling off.
But, yeah. But that's just one, yeah. And you're look, and not only that, you're still having to address a team, especially with its veteran core that's getting older and older.
Right.
And I mean, they're all around 30, 31, 32, and well, for you and me, that might not seem like that's that big of a deal, but for
your
NHL, that's getting a little gray.
There's one Wild player that's older than me.
Backstrom.
Yep, that's the same thing with me, too.
By like a month.
But there's still no Wild players that have played in the game that are older than you.
This is true. You don't need to remind me of that. Well, I think a big problem, though, is while it's good to say, yeah, you want to leave room for some young guys to come in, we don't have... Our pipes are dry as far as young talent goes. There's some guys out there like Kiernan who might eventually become, you know, what's his ceiling? Granlund? Is that his ceiling? I start to worry now about those fast young Finns and whether they can actually translate that into the North American game. Outside of that, you know, Lucia, I'm already running out of names here.
Well, on the blue line, though, I guess to me, you go and make a move for a guy like a Mike Riley, and unless you're just hoping to use him as an asset to parlay, then why did you go sign him? Because he has a similar skill set to some of, you know, like the kind of Wild ideal, which is that finesse puck moving defenseman.
Yep.
He's that. Same thing with a guy like Gustav Olofsson, who's really like a 6'3" version of Brodin. In fact, he models his game after Brodin. He wants to be Brodin. Well, those guys can be much more affordable stopgaps for those places, and it certainly helps keep you under the cap if you have some of those guys cycling in at some point. Those mid or upper level contracts, you got to start moving some of them, and you kind of figure which one you feel you can move, or which one will bring you another asset that you actually really do need. And that, of course, leads to the all the talk about getting a first-line center, a real first-line center.
Right.
Yeah. Something that we've been working towards for several years. No, I mean, that's – I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I still, you know, I think that Spurgeon, I mean, he has shown steady growth in his game. And Spurgeon, he's 26 now. So, I mean, he's coming into his prime, really, you know, where we're going to see probably his best years coming up here. So, and I mean, he's steadily improved since, you know, coming in with the Wild here. So, I don't think that it was unwarranted at all. Can we afford it, though? You know, maybe not. I mean, there's some really big contracts out there, and you know, maybe some people might need to restructure.
I don't know
if they want to continue, you know, having some, you know, some success.
I think it was a good signing. Just having somebody, you know, that's willing to play down deep and that is scoring, yep, as far as a D. You know, obviously we've seen D scoring a little bit more this year than we have in previous years, which is great. But you know, I haven't really seen like just one solid D scoring quite frequently as much, you know, since like the Brent Burns days. And I mean, I like having a D like that is willing to come up but can still play a solid D game too.
Well, I think the thing that it comes down to is this. While I think if you ask the Minnesota Wild, do they want to keep Jared Spurgeon, I think that's their ideal choice. But the question is, is he a player that you could then move and get that impact guy up front? And if that's the person that they're going to want, because I heard on another podcast on Russo where he talked about how Dallas actually uses Jared Spurgeon as their model defenseman to show their young defensemen how they want them to play.
Wow.
Which is pretty high praise.
Right.
And if I would imagine that they're probably not the only team that holds a guy like Jared Spurgeon in very high regard.
Right.
So that adds to his value. And the key part of his contract that he negotiated is that first year right now is kind of his window year to be traded. After that, the no trade gets more extensive and it makes him tougher to deal. And if you're talking about a trade partner, it's nice for them to know that they have a guy for 4 years as opposed to getting rid of a guy. Like, this could be a horrible rental for you. You know, like how the Islanders felt every time they trade for anybody.
It's worked out for them.
They had that one guy that for that 1 year, right?
That Vanek guy for like a month or two.
Oh yeah, they did have him for like, he was a rental. I forgot about that. Wasn't that was the year where like them and Buffalo and Minnesota all kind of traded players, or Buffalo and New York traded players, and then Minnesota ended up getting all of them or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, all they ended up with was a second round pick and Sebastian Kolberg. That's all they had to show for it.
Garth Snow. Oh yeah.
Where is it?
But he did get us to take Chris Simon. That was pretty impressive. Man, on his part.
I'd forgotten about
you
Chris Simon.
You are one pathetic loser.
There we go.
Oh boy. So you think Derek? You think that they're gonna try to move a defenseman then? If they're gonna try to,
I really think that based on the rumblings that I'm hearing from the, I guess, our beat writers and things like that. The tea leaves tell me that we want to make a move for that center, and I think it's part of a realization of that aging core and also the understanding that we do have some other defensive assets that are younger that you can bring up a little bit and have some confidence in. I mean, there's three guys that are quote-unquote within at least a year or two. You got Christian Folin, you have Gustav Olofsson, and then you have Mike Riley. So that maybe gives them the idea that there is some depth to replace it. Will it be as good as what you have with Spurgeon? Doing that. But what you do get is possibly a first-line center, and that really can vault a team.
True. you know.
When you're talking about time on the ice, I mean that's when they're contributing. So. Mm-hmm.
And Lord knows we've seen Spurgeon, you know.
I mean, that doesn't mean I'm saying I want us to see us get rid of Jared Spurgeon.
But I'm sure teams are going to be asking about him, you know, just as teams are probably going to be asking about Brodin as well. Maybe not as many, but, you know.
Where is Brodin sitting at right now with his contract?
I think he has 4 years at about.
And he's got with his too, doesn't he?
I don't believe he has a no trade.
I don't think so. But he's got a similarly structured contract, actually.
And it's eerily similar to the same size and amount as, like, a Ryan Johansson. But, again, the upside between the one or the other, which if you're Columbus, which one are you going to ask for? I think Spurgeon is going to be the guy you want.
Well, considering you got a Finn running the team, I'm thinking you go... with another Scandinavian. That's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah. leave the Canadians out of this.
Jarmo Kekäläinen goes, give me the Swede.
We need to get some Russians on our team again.
Well, there's always hope for Kirill Kaprizov.
It's only, you know, and he's actually, he's said he wants to play in North America, so.
And he's having a good season on a horrible team.
Well.
As an 18-year-old. In the KHL.
Have you? I haven't been paying a ton of attention overseas. Have you seen anything from Ek?
Eriksson Ek. He got hurt last month, so he was kind of on the shelf, and he came back. Plays kind of a limited role with Fjärrested. Hasn't really taken off too much. Not as well as like what you saw to like Brodin in his first year after we drafted him, but. You know, the big hope, and I don't know, I haven't heard too much yet, but with World Juniors coming up, he should be playing for Sweden.
Right.
And that would, and hopefully, you know, we see him do well.
Hopefully get a little bit better view. And
yeah. Well, and
because the Wild have not had a ton of success on the drafting forwards front. We've had a lot of success lately, you know.
Defensively.
Yeah. But the cupboard's pretty bare as far as forwards go right now.
I would agree.
So. All right. So going from draftees to old-timers, the Stadium Series alumni jerseys were released this past 2 days, I guess.
Was that? It was Monday. During the Dallas game.
The whiteout.
Yes, the whiteout. So they're very...
There's a Jarrett Stoll joke in there somewhere.
They are.
Snowblower.
Well, we did get some today, so he must have been in town again. They're very similar to the 88 to 91 North Stars home jerseys, with the exception of a Wild patch on one of the shoulders.
Yeah.
Which I have seen a lot of comments going, why are they white if they're the home team? So must be from either kids or newcomers to the hockey world. And then there's also been a lot of backlash from Dallas, again, Dallas fans, who happen to be coming out of the woodwork since they're doing good this year, maybe.
I don't know, whenever I see them on TV, it doesn't seem like their stands are filled up.
Yeah, so I don't know where all these people keep coming from, but they're like, why are they using our jerseys?
That's and our history.
That's our history. And it's like, A, Dallas never wore those jerseys because they got a big N on them. And
the Dallas North Stars, right?
That works all right. So anyways, those guys have been coming out again. So thoughts on the alumni jerseys from the alumni jersey?
I like them. I mean, they bring it back to the, you know, throwback, and I think they look solid. You know?
I don't know, personally, I like the rumored ones where it was with the Wild head in the North Stars colors.
Colors.
Ugh.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I would say that's what I was hoping for, too. I just think that the alumni jerseys just look almost identical to your old North Stars jersey. And I don't know.
But not all the players played with the North Stars.
Yeah, Brian Rolston didn't play for the North Stars. You know, Antti Laaksonen, Wes Walls. I mean, you got to, if we're trying to embrace both
the
heritage.
That's what the Wild patch is for.
Might as well say Mickey's Diner on the side. You know, like, but I don't know. I guess for myself, if I'm going to spend $200, it's not enough for me to buy it.
I would agree with that. I mean, it's just a... I can go buy a very similar jersey without the wild patch on it from Alibaba for $30. if it was a wild logo with the wild color or with the North Stars colors, it's a different story there.
I mean, I think that would have been a nice embrace of both old teams with alumni from both the Wild and the North Stars.
I bet the Wild didn't want to do it, though, because they would open up the door for people going, that should be our jersey.
Yep,
that's probably why they didn't do it.
That's a good call, because, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you guys freaking message boards very much, but I'm on the Wild.com message boards, and every year we get somebody that jumps on there to post one time to say, I hate the Wild. I think we should be the North Stars and all that kind of stuff every single time. And
I don't think, well, let's see, considering that the youngest age right now that would actually remember the North Stars is probably,
should be 22.
30s?
22.
30?
Right.
20, you think 22?
93 is when they left.
Yeah, but they wouldn't remember them as a hockey team.
At least 27. 28, 28,
yep, 28, 29.
So yeah. 28, 29.
Yeah.
So you figure, you know, the average life expectancy by then might be 90. You probably got another 60 years to go for this.
we're gonna hear this tired argument all the time.
We're going to hear this every year for about the next 60 years,
well,
I think.
You're starting to see kids, though, that grew up with the Wild going, I have no attachment to those North Stars. I like the Christmas tree uniforms, you know? And which, I mean, I can't.
I mean, and at this point now, the Wild, I mean, they're building a history.
I mean,
they've been with us for years now. So.
I know when I was growing
15.
Up. Yeah. When I was growing up, we weren't clamoring for Minneapolis Lakers jerseys for the Timberwolves, you know?
No.
It was a different era, and we had no connection to that, so.
And make the Timberwolves play in the Minneapolis Auditorium.
Yeah.
That too.
Like where the Lakers used to play.
Well, you know, and then I should also, I guess, say that 60 years is a long time, and if Bettman is still in office, the Wild might be down in Louisiana at that point.
Bettman has to be dead by then.
Robo Bettman.
Robo Bettman.
I don't know. He could be taking the same drugs that the Rolling Stones are taking and just live on forever.
Or it'd be like The Simpsons where they just put his head in a jar.
Yeah. We can Futurama. Cryogenics.
Right. Oh, yeah. So, I think we kind of beat that one, huh?
Twitter talk? Okay, since our normal Twitter asker is in the room, we can't start with
Derek. You have any questions for us this week? Since you're here.
Well, anyway, we'll start with Josh Wendell, and that's J Wendell PGA at J Wendell PGA. His first question: what would our package have to be to get Johansson? We already kind of touched on this. Are we thinking would Brodin do that? I don't know.
I think they're still going to want to get a person up front in return. So as big as this may sound, I think they're going to get either, it would be Brodin or Spurgeon. Preferably for them, they would say Spurgeon. We would say Brodin. And then I would think Granlund would be the likely candidate to go to replace that center spot for them. Because they're going to want
and he's
some,
getting a fin. I like it.
And possibly, they might also ask for a prospect. But if you're giving up Granlund, who's a first-round pick, and if it's Brodin, you're technically giving up two first-round picks, I would probably say that's good enough. But, again, it all depends on who's desperate enough. Some other team could throw that out there. I've heard the Islanders are also in the market. And you know, Garth Snow, who knows who will throw out there.
Well, and we got to be honest, though, is Tortorella's really screwed his Johansson's trade value.
Oh yeah,
because you know, to other teams know they want to get rid of him, so they don't have to, you know, play ball.
When he got scratched earlier this week, I thought the trade was going to come right then and there. That's why everyone was like, ooh, you know, because you scratch a guy when you're going
to
trade him.
Right. Well, and it's just like Hamonic. It's like no one has to pony up what they're asking for him because everyone else has the upper hand. Yep. If they really want to move him, they're probably going to have to take a loss. And I think it's going to be the same with Johansson. They're probably asking for, the King's ransom, but I don't know that's going to happen.
That's true, but and the thing you always hear all the time is, you know, look at what happened with Boston and Tyler Seguin.
Right.
You know, you trade away a guy who's considered a legit first-line center, and all of a sudden he's near the top of the league in scoring, and you're like, who did we get for that guy again? You know, we got Louis Erickson, and that's about it.
Right.
You know?
And, yeah, I mean, you're also dealing with Tortorella, who's, you know, he hasn't had much success outside of Florida, and he's always clashing with his players, which is not a good sign for a coach. It's a different story if you're winning, but you can't have the same attitude when you're losing. Otherwise, you're not going to have a job for very long.
I still say he's got to bet with his friends on how fast he can get fired from each of these jobs.
Well, it's hard to imagine how he could even mesh with, like, whoever you dealt there. You know, if you dealt Granlin there, and he just destroys Granlin on, you know, like in the post game presser. I mean, Granlin's never had to deal with that. Yo has never been a guy that has called guys out specifically and just raked them over the coals or questioned their heart.
Yeah,
right.
And you could see Tortorella just ripping him apart, and then Granlin saying, "Get me out of here."
I don't even know what Tortorella's, what his kind of player would be. I mean, would it be a bootlicker? I have no idea. I mean, it seems like he hates every player.
He would want Wah and Go in goal. I think Wah and Goal would and Tortorella on the bench, I think, would be a great combo.
Or Hextall or something.
Or Hextall.
Or they get into a fist fight.
Yeah, exactly.
You, me, now.
Let's go.
Just he would be the line that he would have the team that has nothing but enforcers. Like, guys that'll go out there and just pound the shit out of everybody.
It was just like that game against when he was with Vancouver and Calgary.
Yep. Yeah.
Just sent out all the fist punchers. And then when he didn't like what the outcome was, he's like, "Come here, Hartley. I want you.
Let's go."
And what kind of a contract does Johansson come with at this point right now anyways?
He's actually on a bridge deal right now. So he hasn't been given the big splash yet, but I believe it's around $4 million a season right now.
Okay. So at the same point, you're not going to want to give up a ton for that.
Especially, you know. Well, and then also makes it so then if you plan on making that splash, you also have to plan on getting the space so you can pay him when the guy wants to be paid.
Right.
So, all right. Our next question comes from Megan Canny at uncanny_Megan. Are we at risk of our ice crew becoming ice girls? I do not support this.
We had a good little banter. I think Megan has been at the last couple games and talking about one of the new ice crew who was an adorable girl who was having trouble skating, which seems to be a requisite of the job that one would need to know how to skate. And shovel, I would guess, you know, they kind of go hand in hand, skate and shovel.
And shovel while skating.
And, right. I mean, I guess you can't just do one and not be able to do the other. I don't know if you guys remember. I remember, you know, when the North Stars were here and we had the North Stars drill team or whatever. I don't remember what they were called. They might have been Ice Girls, but
yeah,
we had that, you know, right before they headed south. It does seem a little odd. Maybe it's just because we haven't had it for so long. I don't know how, and plus it's a different era. I don't, you know, it's like,
well, every team I've seen that has had ice girls, it's been teams that have been on the, like, trying to get asses in the seats.
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, so our hockey team isn't doing it.
Check out these TNA.
check out
the TNA. Pretty on the ice.
Well, Dallas has them. And Chicago still has them, even though they don't struggle that way. But Dallas has them, and I know from my blog, I have these Getty images, and I type in Dallas Stars. I swear to God, whoever was some guy was horny that day. There's over 150 pictures of ice girl pictures, and I'm like, oh, glad the hockey mattered to you.
Yeah. I came to a hockey game, and I got pictures of titties.
Okay.
Yeah. So she says she does not support the concept of ice girls. Derek, ice girls, yes or no?
No.
Jive, yes or no?
I don't care.
Kenny?
I don't think, no. I don't think it's needed.
I would agree.
I would say, like, you know, again, if trying to get butts in the seats and our team wasn't really doing well. It's some entertainment in between periods, but we don't need it.
No.
Not necessary.
I think what it should just come down to is, can you skate? Can you push a shovel? Get it done.
Now, if they had giant burritos on the ice racing each other, that would be a different story.
They do that on the scoreboard, and then section 240 over there wins.
or if you're the Milwaukee Admirals, it's the sausage race all the way around there.
Nice. Yeah, see, well, yeah, can we get, like, giant hot dogs to go skating around?
Yeah.
Mm.
Ooh, mullet races. Giant mullets.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Or how about, like, an animal of each of the things that the man-bear pig is made up of? In the winter, that's what Nordy becomes for
it's,
the game.
It's Nordy's kids. Nordy.
Or grandparents, for that matter.
There's a tree. There's a bear. There's some sort of cat thing.
Some weird river moon.
Yeah, I think that'd be much more entertaining. Just watching people skating, that would be entertaining in and of itself, let alone trying to shovel and skate wearing a giant tree costume.
It's like all the parts that go into a Nordy sausage.
Wow. Do they serve those at the X?
I don't think I want to taste it.
Mmm, kind of gamey, but a little woody at the same time.
That's just the smoke flavor. Come on. All right, so our third question comes from Jay Wendell again. Josh is asking, is Holla set as a third or fourth liner, or will he ever see, or will we ever see Holla basically return to the form of his the Chicago series a couple years ago that we saw? Hashtag Yo's Doghouse.
Oh, yo, yo!
Yo!
I think right now he's in Yo's Doghouse, and I don't see him getting out of it, unfortunately, but...
Well, when your line mates are Porter and Carter, you're never gonna be anything, I don't think. That's a tough bill. You could put Parisi on that line. I don't think he's not gonna transform that line into a scoring line. Mm-hmm. And
Parisi would dig and put some stuff in the net still, though.
Put Granlund on that line? Hell no, though.
No.
You know, if you, and Hull is probably closer to Granlund than he is to Parisi. Maybe in some regards, actually, because Hull is a little bit more gritty, I think.
Sometimes.
I don't know. I would agree that with Kenny that it's not going to... He's not going to get out of there. He's pretty much pigeonholed. I mean, we talked earlier about John Tortorella, you know, raking somebody over the coals. Yo doesn't say it publicly, but you know it with the way he uses players.
Right.
And you also know it with the way that he utilizes them on the ice as well. And for whatever reason, Eric Hollis seems to have an extremely short leash. And, you know, there's certainly, I think there's potential for there, but unfortunately, I don't think it's in a Wild uniform. I think he's going to have to go somewhere else to get those opportunities because Yo, I think, has pretty much decided he'd rather have somebody that's a little grittier.
What if we send him to Tortorella?
You, me, Holla, now.
As long as he takes number 55, so he's Hall-ass.
Hall-ass. It has to be Hall-ass. I'm still bummed that Dumba got rid of 55. Just for that pure fact of having dumb-ass.
It was a very clever name-number combination. You don't see that very often. Well, a few years ago, Mike Commodore, everyone was petitioning him to be number 64. So be Commodore 64. And he never took it because I don't think Mike Commodore has a sense of humor at all. I remember he went on a Twitter rant a few months ago, and it was like, wow, this guy's
a little dry.
He's a little dry. He holds grudges, apparently.
That was with Detroit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit, yep.
Yeah. So I think it's a common consensus there, though, that we don't expect to see much more coming out of Holla then.
Yeah, I mean,
as far as moving up the ranks.
You know, injuries happen.
And, they do.
And, you know. So far, I haven't been totally super impressed with Stoll, so I don't think Hull is totally buried yet. I mean, he played last night.
He got good reviews, but the funny part is at the end of the comment about it from Yo is like, but I still need to see more. It's like, What else do you want from him?
He needs to grow like 6 inches and put 50 pounds on his frame.
Put some foil on his knuckles.
And then not hit anyone ever, because certain players have that a big build that should be physical and just aren't. And
but that's okay for them.
Right. It's okay, but Holland needs to be some sort of, I don't know what he needs to be, but not what he is now.
Well, and that's, and playing on those lower lines, he doesn't get it. He's not going to get the opportunities to use his speed, which...
If he gets a chance on a third, he might have it. Well, he
was seeing some of it on the PK with some breakaway opportunities, right. Which, I mean, he was looking okay with. I mean, he had some good opportunities that way, but, you know, I don't think he was seeing much of the PK time either.
Right.
You know, towards the end of, I don't know, what, the last month or so.
And I would think with some of our older guys, and even with guys like... Ryan Carter, I mean, you might as well use the youth if you can. And he is still a younger guy, and you can save some of those veterans' ice time, you know, by giving like guys like Hollow a chance. And I know I would like to see him get more of a chance, but unfortunately, it doesn't look like, you know, that's going to happen.
Right. All right. Well, that's it for Twitter, so let's go on to the week ahead.
So we have, well, we're coming back next Wednesday again. So yes. We'll be off Sunday for one more week. So coming up in between now and next Wednesday, we have Saturday, we have the Penguins here. And then Monday, we have the Red Wings that we will see. So with that, Aaron, I think it's your turn. Or should we give it over to our guest? Derek, what game are you looking forward to?
I'm actually probably looking forward to the Red Wings versus the Wild, in part because that team is kind of the antithesis of what we've seen from some of the, like, the Western Conference teams. They're small and they're fast,
right.
And they possess the puck. And that, to me, really challenges your defensemen and also your forwards not to just give the puck away. And even though Babcock's not there anymore, they still are a deadly skilled team. Even if they don't necessarily are getting, you know, it's not the Zetterberg-Datsyuk show. Now you have Tatar, you have Nyquist. And I mean, there's some good, fast kids there. And I'd like to see how our guys handle it, having played all these big Western Conference teams throughout most of the schedule so far.
In the Wild have, you know, actually handled the East pretty handily this year. It seems like last few years they've gone out East and just, you know, things implode, but they seem to be doing all right, I think, right now.
I think December's in general.
Right.
Yeah, this is one of the better Decembers we've seen in a few years.
Quite a while, yeah.
We still got a few games left, so better bite our tongues here.
Two?
Hmm?
Three games. I think we have one New Year's Eve, don't we?
Yeah, New Year's Eve. Yep.
In St. Louis.
So don't drop the ball, drop the puck.
All right. So what are we going for scores here, boys?
Okay, I'll go first. I'm going to say Detroit. You know, I personally, I feel like we always kind of struggle against Detroit, and, you know, Babcock's not there. But they're still, I'm going to go with the Wild holding on to their dominance of the East, and I'm going to go with the Wild win 3-2.
Jive?
I'm going to go with the Wild winning this one as well. I definitely am looking for them to come off of their Christmas break with a little bit of spring in their step. They finished off strong against the Habs, I think, and hopefully that continues right on.
I'm going to be the bad guy.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to say the Red Wings. I'm going to say the Red Wings win 4-2, and we are frustrated that Granlund didn't shoot the puck.
That's some low-hanging fruit right there, my friend.
Wow. And I think I'm going to go with the Wild with a 4-3 win. You know, I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Pens, you know, right before that will be a nice warm-up game. You know, it'll be three East Coast teams in a row at that rate. So, and I think the Wild are going to go on a sweep of it.
And let me just, get back into my pick one more time. I didn't pick a score, I guess. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to go with the Wild 3-1.
3-1.
And I'm expecting to actually see Kemper remain in the net next week here.
Oh, that's going to be... That's your bold prediction for the week?
That's going to be my bold prediction, yep. Kemper's been he's been playing well, so...
Well, Derek, you're either going to get really razzed next week or we're all going to be bowing down to you, one or the other. There's no middle ground on this one.
Yeah, it I think if had he picked the Penguins, it probably would have been a pretty easy... Because the Penguins have just been terrible this year.
They can't score.
Yeah. No.
And if Crosby's still out at that point?
Well, he's still got Kessel, still got
Malkin.
So if you can't win with those guys, good luck.
They don't have much for goaltending right now, though, do they?
Yeah, Fleury's out,
and their D sucks. So,
yep. So basically, as long as you can rack up, you know, 5 or 6 points, you should be good.
Wild do that every game, right?
Well, I usually see a 5 or a 6. It's one or the other, either for them or against them. At least that's kind of how it seems as of late.
All right. Well, I think we've kind of come to the end of the show. As we've noted, due to the holidays, we've got some crazy scheduling going on, and rather than skip Sunday's podcast, since at least I will be out of town, we're going to do another Wednesday podcast next Wednesday, so look for it in your preferred podcasting app. And Derek, you know, where can people find your work and what you're working on?
Well, you can find my blog at State of Hockey News, spelled just exactly as it sounds, or on Twitter at...
.com?
Yeah, .com, yep.
Okay.
And then, or at State of Hickey, HCKY, News on Twitter.
Hickey. I'm marking that so I can put that in our bumper. Him saying State of Hickey.
That's beautiful.
I tried to get your guys' enunciation of that.
Well, you know, now we know for sure what it actually is. We were just kind of guessing before.
You got it right.
So, Kenny, where can people follow you?
You can find me at about.me/IamKenny. That is KENNEY. With links to all my Twitter and Instagram. And I think all the spam bots have been finding my links, too, because I keep getting new followers on Instagram that are,
The spammers on Instagram are terrible.
It's like boobs and follow me with, like, a whole bunch of, like, emojis that I have no idea what they mean and no other pictures on there.
So Kenny goes, there's boobs. They can't really want to be following me.
I honestly feel that a lot with Instagram is just... I mean, that's one of the worst social networks.
Hey, we post quality on Instagram.
Quality.
Not much quantity, but we got quality.
Right. We got quality in spades here.
I would agree.
Jive, where can people follow you?
They can check me out. I'm on about.me as well. You can go to about.me/HeyJive to find my social links.
Awesome. And, you know, you can follow me when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for 3 in the Box. And again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter. You can find links to everything I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. And I think that's a show.
Awesome.
All righty.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.